check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty terrific, if you know what I mean.
I see what you did there.
I was trying to think of something clever, and I was like, ooh, that could work.
That's all right. Yeah, well, this is a Terrifier-themed episode. We try to keep as many of our segments today based on Terrifier as we can. Of course, there's the news and anniversaries that are not all Terrifier related, but otherwise, we're going to talk a lot about the Terrifier franchise, and in particular, Terrifier 3, which is officially out, and we are reviewing today. Not only are we reviewing it, but this right here, this is our regular episode, our regular spoiler-free episode, where we're going to give you a review, our feedback, our rating, but we're not going to give anything away. But because this is such a big movie, such a movie that we are so excited about and have been just looking forward to, we are doing a second bonus release this week where Ike and I have a spoiler-filled review where we're going to dive deeper into Terrifier 3, discuss more details. So if you've already seen the movie, go check that out and give us some feedback on it. That's a completely different recording, completely different review and release. You don't have to worry about this one. This one's spoiler-free. But if you have seen the movie and you want to hear some deeper thoughts into the plots and happenings of the movie, check the other out. It will be released the exact same time, but there's just, this is not going to be a regular thing, but this is just too big a movie. We've really got to just discuss it all.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree. This is one of those times where, you know, we've been talking about Terrifier 3 since we literally had the vaguest grasp of when the movie would come out, we've been talking about it. So we have to.
Yeah. And, I'm dying. It's one of those things. I'm pretty cool with spoiler-free reviews, but this is one of those movies that I want to say more. I want to talk more. I have so many thoughts, just questions, ideas, reactions. So a lot of that's going to be in the second. So that way you're safe. If you've not seen the movie yet, you don't have to worry about this episode. But if you have seen it and you want to hear some more thoughts, like I said, check out the other release by us. So, but before we get there, we got a few things to do. All right, starting off, what did you watch this week besides Terrifier 3?
Right. besides Terrifier 3, really not a whole lot. Me and Kayla watched Halloween and Halloween Kills. And we're going to watch Halloween Ends as well, like the remake stuff. Just mm-hmm. something we wanted to watch. I did watch that movie on Hulu, Mr.
Mr. Crockett?
Yeah, Mr. Crockett.
Yeah.
That was pretty solid.
I watched that too. I loved it. I thought it was fun. Let's talk a moment about that. It's kind of a mini review. We won't write it and whatever else. But we talked about this coming out. I said I thought this was a clever idea. And it didn't disappoint. I really thought I liked the idea. I liked the concept. I like the way they executed the concept in the movie and how they did it. I just thought this was a really, really clever and cool movie. And just lots of fun to watch. I really, really, really recommend that people go out and check it out. Again, it's Mr. Crockett on Hulu. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, I was very intrigued by the premise. It was one of those ones where it kind of caught my eye. I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I made the joke, you know, it's like giving Mr. Rogers a handgun, which, I mean, while there were no handguns, this was basically if Mr. Rogers killed bad parents, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. Very good. So had some really good, neat practical effects, which I was not expecting from it. But yeah, if you are looking for like a quick and fun watch, Mr. Crockett is right there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. It's one of those movies that, plays right into my likes. It worked.
Right.
It was just fun. You know, not one of those movies you had to overthink or, you know, give too much. It was just very clever, very fun. It had some good kills, some good effects, like you said. Everybody was great in it. I thought the acting, the portrayals, whatever you want to call it, the execution was very, very good. Mr. Crockett, he was great. So yeah, very much enjoyed it. So is that all you watched then? Is that the extent of it?
I'll say, other than that, it's just random bullshit here and there, like YouTube and stuff like that. Been a little busy this week.
Well, the only other thing is I watched, I did do a rewatch of Rosemary's Baby, and
Oh,
then I
yeah.
did watch Apartment 7A, which again, it's been a while since I've seen Rosemary's Baby. It's such a damn good movie for being, especially being as old as it is, whatever else. It holds up. It is just a really, really, really good film. And I thought Apartment 7A was just paired with it perfectly. I thought it was a really great movie, solid movie, had the same kind of feel vibe. Right into it. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed them. You can see both those on Paramount Plus. So I suggest you check them out. You can go out and watch Apartment 7A. You don't have to have seen Rosemary's Baby per se to know what's going on. It pretty much guides you through. But it is nice, I think. I think, and I know there's been some remakes of Rosemary's Baby. I've not really seen the remakes per se. I suggest watching the original. I think it's such a great film. And
The OG.
that's right. So, all right. Well, that takes care of what we watched. So let's just move on to the next segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for Cheesy Slasher of the Week. This is where Ike and I present to you just what it says, a cheesy slasher to watch. And this week, it's not necessarily that it leans so heavy into the cheesy. Excuse me, I don't know what cheeser means. Cheesy, but it fits our Terrifier theme. This week, we're presenting to you All Hallows Eve. This is the movie that included the short films The Ninth Circle and Terrifier, which were the first appearances of Art the Clown. The movie is described as, while babysitting two children on Halloween, a babysitter finds a VHS in one of their candy bags, and the three watch the tape. It was written and directed by Damien Leone, starring Kate McGuire and Mike Gianelli, who played the original Art the Clown. And he played it in the two shorts. These two shorts were out and available before this. They pulled them into this as kind of a found footage type film. They pulled those two shorts along with a third short into this movie. Mike, I guess, retired from acting after doing this and went another direction. And of course, Art the Clown was recast as David Howard Thornton, who we all love. But Mike did a good job in these shorts, laid a lot of the foundation for what David would build on. And I believe that if you talk to David Howard Thornton, I'm sure somebody has. I'm sure he has mad respect to Mike and what he established and what David was able to build on. It is a fun film. It was released October 29th, 2013. It's available to watch on Shudder. But this is where Art the Clown began, right? This is a You know, like I said, these were shorts, but this pulls them together so you get to see. And it's pretty fascinating to me to watch it. Pretty, first of all, Katie McGuire does a great job. She's in also in Terrifier, plays the reporter on the talk show in Terrifier.
Yeah, Margo Brown.
Yeah, but she is. But anyway, it's wild to me that, man, Art the Clown as a concept is pretty fully developed in this thing.
Yeah.
It's like it's there. It's what we love. Of course, it's built upon, it's ramped up in the future films. I get all that. But Damien Leone knew what he wanted. And I've heard that there's a lot of he wanted kind of the opposite of Pennywise, right? So without the color, it was very black and white, and Art used weapons. It was like the antithesis of Pennywise. And and he just delivered. And I feel like, well, you're not missing anything if you don't watch this as far as the Terrifier franchise. I still feel like it's a pretty important watch and it's a pretty fun watch. So I know this is one, a lot of the cheesy slashers sometimes you haven't seen, but what do you think of All Hallows Eve?
I mean, I absolutely love All Hallows Eve. This is honestly, it's weird because I watched these were completely watched out of order for me because I watched the Terrifier film first. When that came out, I had a friend who was like, "Hey, I know you like horror movies. I saw this the other day. It was really good. It was a guy I worked with way back when, and he was like, "Yeah, check this out." And I checked it out and really liked it. And then, of course, the rest is history. But I then went seeking out more Art the Clown. I was like, "Is there any more of this? Like, are they making more?" And that's when I found All Hallows Eve. So All Hallows Eve kind of came secondary for me. But honestly, All Hallows Eve, like you said, is really good. I mean, as far as like low budget, anthology films go, this is very exquisite. I mean, literally chef's kiss. And like you said, Art the Clown is very well established, especially in the Terrifier short. For people who maybe don't know, I could be a little off on these dates, but I want to say that the movie came out in 2013, which is All Hallows Eve. The Ninth Circle, I believe, came out in like 2008 or 2009. And
Correct.
then I think Terrifier came out like, well, I want to say like 2010, 2011 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's right. Yeah.
So you kind of have this weird progression where the Ninth Circle had Art the Clown in it, but he wasn't like the primary antagonist. And then you have Terrifier short, which was very much about Art the Clown. And then you then have the other short, which was made for All Hallows Eve. That's a little bit of a departure, but we still have Art the Clown connection, right? So, and it's just so weird because you watch these three shorts. Art the Clown is in them in some degree for each one, but it's like literally the most random shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like Damien Leone was like, "Yeah, let's try and I'm gonna throw as much as I can out the wall and see what sticks." You got, demons, you got witches and warlocks, you got killer clowns, you got aliens. I mean, literally that anthology hit every single, box on the horror checklist. So, it's just so funny that we got All Hallows Eve, and then a few years later we got, Terrifier, which in the form that we know him, so it's just so good. All Hallows Eve is good. It's a good watch. Don't go in and expecting like the best movie of all time, but it is a solid, fun Halloween watch.
Yeah, it is. And it's fun to see where kind of art came from. And
Right.
you can really see, I mean, Damien, it's like he knew where he wanted to go with art. And there's someone I think approached him about this and wanting to put the short films in there and the art stuff in there. And I think I'm pretty sure that Damien said, yeah, on the one on the condition that I get to direct this movie. And the third clip is like, alien driven, and they said that it didn't really have art in it per se, but that was kind of to give you let you catch your breath before the terror. It's between the two art things, right? They didn't want
Right.
to they wanted you the Terrifier clip to have a little more impact, but it's fun, it's good, it's very cool to see the antithesis, the excuse me, not that, whatever, the birth, the formation of art. And it's highly recommended. So that is our cheesy slasher. Because again, it's not as cheesy as some of the stuff that we say, but it's still, compared to the others, a little low budget, a little cheesy, but a
Yeah.
very, very fun watch. I like the concept. So all right, let's move on then to our next segment. Talk to us, Internet. And our next segment is Talk to Us Internet. This is where we either respond to some listener feedback, some listener reactions, or just something in general that we see online and on social media. And that's kind of where we lay this week to keep it in the Terrifier theme. We're responding to Terrifier 3 has been very well received by the fans of the franchise and gory movies, of course. But however, there have been reports of people that have taken young children to the movie. And there's also been people attending. I saw one post where someone said they were talking to someone that was kind of sitting by them. And this person said that they don't like gory movies. They're not really into overly gory horror movies. And the person questioned them, have you seen the other? Nope, we haven't seen them. And they're like, okay, I don't think. But anyway, those people walked out very quickly and told the other person they were talking to that they are, quote unquote, sick in the head. So that aside, which is kind of ridiculous in its own right, but that aside, I kind of pose the question: people taking children, people going saying they don't like, or what do people just not do any general research into what they're going to see in theaters? Do they not watch any trailers? Do they not? There's information on your phone at your fingertips. Do they not look into this at all? I'm very confused by these concepts. What the fuck's going on with people?
Listen, so okay, I have a small story about when I went and saw the movie, but I also want to respond first. So this is twofold, right? on the one hand, a lot of the walkouts, and I've done some research, a lot of the walkouts that people have done are like, or have documented, quote unquote. I've heard a lot of those are actually from like events where they did like, there's a program they call it's like Scream Unseen, or something like that, where they basically show a movie and you don't know what movie it is, but they tell you the rating and like stuff like that. So a lot of the walkouts I've heard are from like events like that where they're like screenings, if that makes sense. But like you said, a lot of the things that I've been seeing online recently are a lot of people are going to Terrifier 3 purposefully, right? They purposefully purchase a ticket and they go and then they complain about the movie. They say, oh, this movie's disgusting. The people who watch this movie are disgusting. You're sick in the head, this, that, and the other, whatever cacophony of insults that they want to hurl at the Terrifier fans. But like you said, my question is the exact same thing. You have a device, right? You have a device in your pocket that is more powerful than the space that literally that is more powerful than the actual rocket, whatever thing that went to the moon in the 60s. Okay. Your phone, it is vastly more powerful than something that took us to the moon. And you cannot use it for 5 seconds to Google, hey, what is this movie about? What are the general rating? Now, to people who are taking kids at this movie, I will say, and they weren't kids, but when Kayla and I went and watched it, and we actually her father-in-law tagged along with us as well. He's a fan of the series as well. And
Wait, hold on. Her father-in-law? Because I'm her father-in-law.
no,
Oh, wait.
my father-in-law, I should say.
There you go. Wait. Go ahead.
I should
Sorry.
clarify. No, you're good. My father-in-law, he tagged along with us and he liked it. He liked it a lot. But the people who are in front of us, right, was a like an older woman who I'd assume is the parent, and about five like teenagers, pre-teenagers, maybe like 13 to 14, is my guess. And I was like, I am kind of shocked that these kids are here. And it was like a Thursday night, so it's a school night. Kids are back in school, so it's a Thursday night school night. It's a late movie. Like even I, as an adult, was like, yeah, I gotta go to work tomorrow. I'm not super looking forward to that. But I was just like, why are they here? Why are these kids here? And I even told my wife, I was like, I'm very curious if like they're gonna get up and get out. Now they didn't. Now they sat through it. And I even saw the mom or whatever laughing along at some of the funny parts. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why people are doing this, and I especially don't know why people are then turning around and getting angry at anyone but themselves. Because they put themselves into that position of taking either children or taking themselves to a movie that they probably should have known was not going to be something that they were going to like. So I don't know. I think it's ignorance or stupidity or both,
Yeah, I don't know. It's just too easy these days to just do some cursory research and no excuse.
Exactly.
So you don't have you have no room, no purpose, no reason to bitch about anything, because come on, everybody knew what this movie was going to do.
Oh,
Everybody
absolutely.
knew what this movie was going to have. So you know what? Take 5 minutes and Google. So that you don't have the right to complain. I understand that some people may go into it knowing or having an idea of what they think, and yeah, maybe it impacts them. Maybe it's you know what they react how they didn't. That's fine. I get it. It's cool. Whatever. But there's no excuse for people walking out, calling other people sick in the head. No reason for people taking kids and then complaining. No reason. So,
Exactly.
whatever. People, quit whining. Quit trying to have 15 minutes of viral fame and just be responsible consumers. So,
Yeah. It's all counterculture stuff, man. That's what they want to do. It's Art the Clown is popular, so Art the Clown obviously has to have its his detractors, and they think that they're going to make a quick buck, from the more conservative folk who are going to believe and lean into their thought process, when in reality, given the time and date, it's like, and sorry, I don't want to keep rambling, but it's not like it's the 70s, you know what I mean? And The Exorcist just came out and nobody knows anything about The Exorcist, and they go to the movie and they're, absolutely bewildered. No, I mean, you can literally do a very quick Google search and see that this is the third technically fourth film in a franchise about Art the Clown, and just look at any of the other ones to get even a small grasp of what it is that this movie's about. And like you said, it's just people who complain are doing it, and I can't take them seriously. I cannot take people seriously who complain about movies anymore, just because it is so easy to figure out what it is you're going to go watch. And if you can't tell whether or not you're going to like a movie, at least to some degree, by the synopsis of the movie, then how do you have such little media literacy that you cannot determine whether or not you are actually going to enjoy this movie by saying, I've seen a trailer or I've seen this? It's just bewildering to me because people literally go to this having to have seen trailers. And I mean, the Red Band trailer is pretty graphic. I mean, not as graphic as the movie, fairly said, but it is still a very graphic trailer. Like, you should know whether or not you are going to enjoy this based on the trailer, truly.
Yes, absolutely. Some people just like to stir a pot.
They
So
do.
it's annoying. So, all right, let's move on.
Top three.
And this episode, we are going back to the OG, the original segment here on the show, Top Three. And we are going to do our top three favorite Art the Clown kills from Terrifier 1 and 2. This is a spoiler-free episode here, so we're not going to discuss three, because I venture if we put three in, my top three would completely change. So,
Yeah.
but we're just doing one and two. So, Ike, do you have your top three?
I certainly do.
All right. Well, why don't you start us off? What is your number three favorite Art the Clown kill from Terrifier 1 or 2?
All right. Well, first of all, I have almost a I would ha I would bet money that you and I probably have the same one and two. I'm not sure about three,
Yeah,
but
I almost put the precursor of excluding two particular kills
yeah.
because they're obvious. But I thought, nah, let's don't do that.
Let's
they
see
are
how it
what they
goes.
are. Yeah, so but yeah, go ahead. You're number three.
right. My number three is the scene from Terrifier 2, which is the Brooke acid kill scene.
I am.
It's a kind of an underrated kill. I feel like some people are kind of hit or miss on that one. Of course, for people who have seen Terrifier 2, this is the scene where they get to the carnival. Sienna goes looking for her brother Jonathan. And Brooke and her boyfriend are in the car. Her boyfriend, of course, gets stabbed in the penis a couple times, and then which that almost made my list because it was kind of funny in a way. But Brooke obviously takes off running, and she tries to fight Art the Clown, but she gets acid thrown in her face, which is absolutely brutal. And then, of course, she gets the her chest caved in, which was also completely brutal and just vicious. So that is my numero tres.
All right. Well, that obviously not my number three then. I guess not obviously, but anyway, my number three is from Terrifier 2. It is the Halloween store kill of Ricky, who's the guy that works in the Halloween store, who's pretty brutally killed, the hatchet to the head. I think there's a bottle. Is there a bottle shoved into him, maybe? I want to
Yeah, like
say.
a
I don't
broken
know.
bottle or something
Yeah,
like
broken
that.
bottle. But what seals the deal, the icing on the cake for this is I love the kid looking in the window and Art posing with the head of Ricky. Like he's a Halloween display. Cracks me up. So hilarious. Just made this kill so much fun to me. And so that is my number three. Now, like you said, I bet we have the next two are probably the same. I'll be curious to see though the order of our two.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead then and hit us with your number two favorite, Art the Clown Kill.
My number two favorite is the hacksaw scene from T1, Terrifier 1. Obviously, I had a very hard time with the top two just because I was like, which one do I think is more iconic? And this one is infamous, famous, however you want to look at it. This is one of those scenes that. And I'll explain because I think you probably know, everyone probably can guess what my number one is. But the hacksaw scene was one of the first scenes I ever saw in a horror film that genuinely bewildered me. Just I at that point in time I was pretty not I had seen a lot of horror movies, but I had never ventured that far off the path of like mainstream horror. So when I saw Terrifier 1, it was probably one of my first real forays into the more independent horror and. You know, where they can really do whatever the hell they want to do. And I saw that scene and I was like, holy shit, like what? And obviously it's iconic. I mean, that scene is gone down in infamy. I mean, people still talk about that to this day. And I just, oh, so good. So much fun. And I'm sure Art, I'm sure David probably had a hard time doing that one because that was a lot of blood.
What are you saying? I had a hard time.
No, David Howard Thornton.
Oh, I got you. Okay. I thought you were gonna be like, what? No.
No, I'm sure he was covered. I imagine
Oh, I bet.
that. I'm sure his soaks were like soaked up in it. I just imagine that was a very hard scene to do.
I
I'm
bet.
very curious. He's supposed to come to Pensacon, which is a con near me next year. So maybe I'll ask him if I see him.
Well, all right, there you go. So say, this is where I'm curious about because, yeah, I probably know what your number one is. And I think the way you have them ranked one and two is how a lot of people would have them ranked one and two. However, as far as I like them and my favorites, I flip-flop the two.
Yeah, I got you.
So my number two is from Terrifier 2, the Salt and Bleach Kill of Allie.
Oh.
Everybody, of course, knows this one. This is the one we heard about even before seeing the movie, that there is a scene that's going to make your stomach turn, and this was it, right? Where there's, man, Allie is, she's skinned, she's cut up, there's salt and bleach and torture put on. It is crazy ass wild. Everybody knows this. Everybody, if you know it, everybody's heard about it. Even if you've not seen the movie and you're a horror fan, you've heard about this. Most people say this is probably their favorite kill or one of the most gruesome kills. I don't know. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I always put the other a little ahead, which is what you said. I'm just going to go ahead with it. My number one is the hacksaw kill of Dawn from Terrifier 1. I don't know what it is about it. I think it's just, I love it. I like the visual of it, the way it's done. It to me, yeah, the salt and bleach is absolutely brutal, but the fact that he takes a hacksaw and cuts someone in half like that is just shows how sinister this guy is. And like you kind of mentioned or alluded to, this sets the stage for you, right, of what Art the Clown is. And this is, to me, this is like the definitive Art the Clown. And I think there's I don't know if it's happening or if it's just a rumor that there might even be a Funko Pop of this scene,
Oh, wow.
or something, or some kind of figure type thing of the scene, which would be very cool. I don't know. But anyway, I love this. I love this kill. It's so, I don't know what that says about me, but it's so fun, so great visually. The effects are spectacular. It's so well done. And it is thus far of the first two movies, my favorite Art the Clown kill. So moving on, I'm pretty sure then we know what your number one is. Ike, go ahead though and lay it on us and talk about it.
Yeah, number one, of course, for me is the alley bedroom scene from T2, Terrifier 2. And it's hard for those two because, the hacksaw scene, like you said, it's iconic. Everyone knows about it. And it really sets the stage for what Terrifier has to bring you. And like you said, if we were including Terrifier 3 in this ranking, this whole ranking would be completely thrown off. But just the bedroom scene. That was a scene that I the first time I watched Terrifier 2, I genuinely had a hard time watching that scene. I remember being in the theater with my wife, and I remember watching that, and I'm like, oh my God, like this is brutal. This is just insane. And I mean, he scalps her, he literally breaks her arm, he like splits her hand down the middle, he cuts her back up. He literally does everything that you could possibly do to a person without just flat out killing them. And then literally to add salt to the wound, he dumps salt and bleach on her. And it's just, oh my God. The actress who plays Allie, in my opinion, it is probably one of the best actresses in all of the films. I don't think anyone else could have sold that kill like she did. Like, just her screams, her guttural howls, because at some point you can kind of tell that the actress starts kind of losing her voice, but like it makes sense, and it's just, oh, it is just very well thought out. And like for people who maybe people do know this because he's talked about it, but like this whole kill used to be a lot shorter and smaller. But with COVID, he actually went back and greatly expanded upon Allie's death in Terrifier 2, because COVID came with a lot of, delays and backups and things like that. So because of those delays, he was able to basically reimagine the kill that he had in mind and make it 100 times worse. So I just forever will say Allie's death in Terrifier 2 is both heartbreaking because she was a really good friend to Sienna, but also just so brutal and so creative. Just, oh, chef's kiss.
Yeah, and plus there's the whole added layer of the mom walks in and sees her, and
Yeah.
that's that adds a whole thing. So, yeah, and, I think I don't know. I think most people would have those as one and two in one way or another.
Oh,
They're
yeah.
very they're to me two of the top horror movie kills of all time. They're
Oh,
very
for sure.
very clever and classic. So there you have it. There is our top three favorite Art the Clown kills from Terrifiers 1 and 2. So, all right, then let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, anniversaries, and all that fun stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off strong, Robert Englund has confirmed, unfortunately, he can no longer physically play Freddy Krueger. He says he can't do the fight scenes in more than one take, but he could voice a really high-end animated version of Freddy. And obviously it's hard to hear that. Our icon, Robert Englund, he's being very honest that he's getting up there in age, and he's like, you know what? Probably shouldn't be doing those scenes anymore. But I firmly believe that Freddy could translate into a animated film of some sort. A lot of animation has progressed significantly, so it's not all cartoons anymore. But I feel like animation will be one of the next forays of the horror genre that we may get soon.
Yeah. I mean, it's at least good to know that he's not completely closing the door on it, that he is saying that, hey, I could still be involved in some way if the situation were right. So, but it is sad, but it's just all, I mean, to be frank, it's him pointing out the obvious, right? I mean,
Yeah.
it is what it is, and it doesn't diminish what he's done for us as a horror icon. And but hopefully the franchise moves on. And whatever it may be, whether it passes on to somebody else, whether he does do some voice, whatever it may be, hopefully though we get something Nightmare related in the near future, and let's move the franchise forward.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving on to Daddy's Head, released on October 11th on Shudder. It is described as a boy, or I'm sorry, as a, no, yeah, as boy and his stepmother fear for their safety after an eerie creature resembling the boy's father, or recently deceased father, visits them. This, I'm just now hearing about this, but based on that synopsis, I will definitely check this out. Obviously, it's a Shudder release. I'm always down to watch something on Shudder or Screambox, so. But yeah, there you go. Daddy's Head, released on October the 11th.
Yeah, I have heard some buzz about the daddy's head, right? The creature or whatever it is in it is pretty cool looking. Some good effects. Very whatever creepy looking thing. So I'm curious to give it a watch and see what it is.
Very good. All right. Then in some Terrifier news, we have three little bits of Terrifier news here. Terrifier 3 has grossed $5,803,577 on Friday, October 11th, to make it the number one movie on opening weekend, and nearly outgrossing Terrifier 2's total gross. It is looking like Terrifier 3 will be the number one movie for its opening weekend. So obviously, this is super great news. This movie is just blowing up everywhere, and it is so fantastic to see it happening. Obviously, Terrifier 2 had immense success, but Terrifier 3 really needed to have even greater bounds of success in order for us to potentially get more Art the Clown down the line. And I certainly would say that with this performance, we are all but assured that Terrifier 4 is going to be in the works very soon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Damien Leone said he's planning to do it anyway. With this success, I'm pretty sure that seals the deal.
Right.
But yeah, it's very exciting. That's in one night, it almost topped the total gross for Terrifier 2. That's exciting. David Howard Thornton has gone online and said it's blowing his mind that they have that they're the number one movie over the weekend, that they're knocking, Joker off, this iconic character that he loves, and for Joker 2. But it's wild. It's just hard to imagine. I mean, but it's the natural progression, right? The way this Terrifier franchise has grown. It's only natural, and is really, while it's wonderful, it's not surprising to me that the next step is that this movie is number one on its opening weekend. It just makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll happen. Just got to wait for, weirdly enough, normally we record these pretty early in the week, but we're actually recording this on Sunday, so we can't actually say whether or not it's going to be number one yet, but I would almost guarantee that with its success so far and with the bombing of Joker 2, man. And here's the thing, I'm sure it's still a good movie, but obviously I don't want to talk poorly about it, but I think that the fan base was not ready for the vision that they had for this movie, and unfortunately did not succeed, so I digress. Moving on to better news and better things, Ice Nine Kills has released their new song, A Work of Art, which is the official theme song for Terrifier 3. You can check it out on your favorite music provider, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever people use on Google Play. I've not yet listened to it. I used to listen to Ice Nine Kills, when I was like a teenager, but I haven't listened to them in about a decade or so. I'll have to check it out. I'm sure it's a good song. I heard the music videos are a lot of fun, so
yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, there is a video out there. Our buddy Matt Sampier, I think, worked on the music video.
Nice.
And he's put some pictures out there of him and David Howard Thornton as Art the Clown. And he's pretty stoked because from what he's posted, he loves Ice Nine Kills, loves the Terrifier franchise. So, it was pretty exciting that he got to take part in that. I kind of like it when some things, some of our friends and some of the things we love combine, and one of our friends of the show gets a what I'd call a break, right? The opportunity to do something like it. It's pretty cool. I've not really watched. I've heard some of the song. It is pretty good. And obviously, I'm sure some of it was in the movie that I'm not, directly recalling, but not watched the video yet, but I intend to. But it's pretty exciting. Just part of the hype and the Artomania that's out there. It's pretty exciting that this is happening.
The Artomania. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. But all right. And last but not least, Relievo and Selecta Play in 2025 are releasing a side-scrolling fighting game called Terrifier, the Arcade Game. More information will be coming in the future. I've seen a little bit of clip of this, and it looks like a fun little side-scroller, little beat-em-up kind of gory game.
Yeah, very very arcadey, arcade-like. And
right.
I think that.
I think it'll do pretty good. I will hope that maybe one day, especially with the growing relevance of Art the Clown, that perhaps we'll get more of a AAA title. You see the success of like the Friday the 13th game, and you see the success of, the Texas Chainsaw game to some degree, Dying Light, and you're not Dying Light. There's whatever the other one is, like the one that Dying Light's a zombie game, but Dead by Daylight. Sorry, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that with the success of these other horror games, and then just like the relative success of Terrifier and everything else, that we'll get an actual AAA game one day. But this is a good start. You know what I mean? This is getting his foot in the door of that industry. And as long as it does well, we might see more in the future.
Yeah. I mean, and also, couple that with the him popping up and what it's a downloadable character, the Call of Duty game. So
yeah.
He's out there getting some exposure. So that's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people who are curious, I was trying to I tried playing Call of Duty, trying because I wanted to get the skin. Unfortunately, you do have to pay for them. You have to pay $20 for them. Which I mean, that's a small price to pay for Art the Clown. So I may yet be tempted to do so, but I thought you could just unlock them. I thought that that was how that worked, but I have not played Call of Duty in so long that I was gravely mistaken. You do have to pay money. It's a
There you go.
microtransaction. But anywho, that does it for news. Obviously, very Terrifier heavy. Good to see it. But we're going to move on to upcoming birthdays. Starting off with August 17th, 1948, we have Margot Kidder from Black Christmas, and of course, she plays Lois Lane in the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. Obviously, Margot Kidder is a fantastic actress. She's known for many things. Yeah, and I'm sure you know, Dave, but they are coming out with a Christopher Reeve like documentary.
Documentary. Yep.
Yeah, it looks very good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I love Christopher Reeve. He is my Superman, and Margot Kidder is my Lois Lane. And of course, I love the original Black Christmas. So, yeah, of course, Margot Kidder is no longer with us, but she was fantastic.
She was absolutely very good. And then another classic here, October 2nd, sorry, 20th, 1882, Bela Lugosi, known for his role as Dracula. Obviously, Bela Lugosi is easily an icon in of himself within the horror genre, but very specifically, Dracula and his version of Dracula forever stands the test of time, and truly, in my opinion, is what people think of when you think of a vampire.
Yep. Yeah, we've talked about it. I mean, when all these things in pop culture you see, typically when it's a vampire and when people think of a vampire, what they're visualizing is Bela Lugosi and his version and his look. So that's it's pretty cool. But yeah, great movie. Great
Yeah,
actor.
absolutely. Speaking of vampires, I totally forgot to mention this earlier. I did get a chance to watch the new Salem's Lot movie.
Oh, pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it was actually really good. I've seen a lot of hate for it online. I'm like, I feel like it's pretty unjustified. I feel like it's a solid vampire movie. I mean, is it, the next Dracula? No, but it's a fun movie and it's kind of spooky. The character design of the whatever demon vampire, the thing is
Yeah,
freaking spooky.
I liked it, so.
Yeah, absolutely. But we were talking about vampires. I had to mention it. I almost forgot.
Yeah,
But
there you go.
wait, hey, also speaking of, if you guys want to watch that's on Max, another fun October watch for you. But anywho, speaking of spooky people, I'm just kidding. October 22nd, 1952, Jeff Goldblum, known of course for The Fly, Jurassic Park, and many, many more. Jeff Goldblum, of course, an icon in of himself. He's done so much. But The Fly, I've never seen The Fly all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces. Like I've seen like the scene where he turns into like a fly monster thing or whatever. Other than that, I've not seen The Fly, and it's on my list. I just need to get around to watching it.
Yeah, you need to watch it. And he's so good, and of course, so good in the Jurassic Park films he's in. And pretty good in the Apartment.com commercials. No, I kidding. But yeah, I love me some Jeff Goldblum.
Isn't he in the Capital One commercials now? Like, what's in your wallet?
Yeah.
I think, or maybe not the Capital One, maybe one of the other ones, but yeah. Anywho, upcoming movie birthdays. I'm kidding, movie anniversaries. October 17th, 1997. I Know What You Did Last Summer. Easily one of the longest statements made as a movie title. Obviously, it's a great movie. It is the pinnacle of 90s slasher. Super good. Has a lot of really big names in it too. So obviously, good watch.
Yeah, and we've talked about this several times that there are several of the 90s horror movies that are kind of underappreciated.
Yeah.
There it's for whatever reason, it's I don't know, it's kind of a time period besides Scream, the Scream movies, that a lot of people sleep on. But there's some good stuff coming out of the 90s, and this is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we could do an entire episode about underappreciated 90s horror movies and
Yeah, probably.
talk about them all the day. There's a lot of them for sure. But good stuff. Moving on to October 18, 2002, The Ring. Obviously, The Ring, iconic. has many sequels. Some are better than others. And not to be confused with The Grudge. The Ring is a very interesting one. This is, of course, Samara in the well, and it's very good. I quite like the Ring movies. It's been a little bit since I've seen all of them, but I'll have to go back and because I know they did like a remake of one, I think, at some point, and they also put out like a Ring Zero. It's on Shudder, I believe, but it's a Japanese movie, so I need to like watch that when I have the time to, because I'll have to read subtitles because I do not speak Japanese.
But yeah, I like The Ring. I've not watched a lot otherwise besides the first one. But yeah, you're right. A lot of people, for whatever reason, I do think they lump all this in. They confuse The Ring with The Grudge, and it's weird. But whatever. The Ring's the girl lady that crawls out of the TV, right? When you watch the tape, and you got like 7 days or whatever it is, then
7 days.
there you go. So. Yeah, it's a pretty fun movie.
It is. But very good. Moving on to October 19th, 2007, 30 Days of Night. 30 Days of Night is another vastly underrated vampire movie. This, of course, has a much different approach to vampires than Dracula or Salem's Lot. Really, any vampire movie I've ever seen is significantly different than 30 Days of Night. 30 Days of Night does hold true to some of the tropes, but like, I don't think that you have to kill them with a wood stake in 30 Days of Night. I think you can just shoot them and they die. But they're like super strong, so it takes a couple bullets, right? Like, they're more like super-powered humans than like a true supernatural beast, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, 30 Days of Night, it's a fun one. It's very good.
Yeah, it's a clever concept, with the whole, Alaska 30 Days a Night thing. It's pretty clever. Now, I don't think that's one I would have thought of, but I like the approach. But yeah, I know there's been some sequels and whatever else. I'm not as familiar with those. And it's been a while since I've seen this movie, but.
There's a sequel. I don't remember what it's called. It's like 30 Days of Night, something, something. And it's not very good, in my opinion. It's very much, it bleeds into like the action realm a little too much. Like, it's kind of turned into like an underworld type movie. I don't know if you've ever seen those. But yeah, and not to say Underworld's bad, but like Underworld started as like an action horror type movie, but like 30 Days of Night wasn't necessarily like that, you know? But I digress. Moving on to October 19th, 2018, Halloween. Very good, obviously. It's a very worthy sequel, requel type movie. And one of the few to really do it right. Obviously, how they, I know it's his name's David Gordon Green. He was in charge of these. And he gets a lot of shit for different things. And I think he gets a lot of shit for these movies. And I think it's unjustified. I think they were extremely well made.
Yeah, it's weird. A lot of people don't like the Halloween Ends and blah blah blah, and they lump it all together with the whole trilogy. But the first one especially, but even the first two are really pretty solid. And I don't see how you have a lot of complaints with them.
I that's another thing that we talked. We I mean, for a long time we talked about Halloween Ends a lot, but Halloween Kills is a pretty solid 1-2. And Halloween Ends is not the greatest, but it's not the worst. But anywho, speaking of Halloween, October 21st, 1988, Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. The Return of Michael Myers is sort of the departure from the OG Halloween, in my opinion, because they start getting into sort of the Mark Thorne. And then 4, 5, and 6 are specifically like that is about the Mark of Thorne. That's what that's all about. And I like that stuff. Don't get me wrong, it's quite good. And then it provides a somewhat reasonable explanation as to why Michael Myers is as OP as he is. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't like these movies, and I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of these movies that were made, like these later sequels, get a lot of hate, but I think it's just like the people love to hate them type thing. Because Halloween 4 is actually pretty good in my opinion. Not the best, obviously, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I don't know. It was always, so different that people complained or whatever else. But I think as time goes on, that's I think that's lightening a little bit, and there's more people that are appreciating them and enjoying them. But yeah, for a long time, it was, I don't know, whatever. It was the end thing to hate them. And I feel like a lot of people just hated them because, without even really giving them a fair shot. So, are they as great as some of the others? Nah, probably not, but they're still fun and still pretty solid watches.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right. And last but not least, October 22nd, 1982, Halloween 3, The Season of the Witch. Season of the Witch, again, this is one that people hated, but it is now a cult classic. It is, in my opinion, very unjustly hated, and I think people hated it because it didn't have Michael Myers in it. And that wasn't the point. It was supposed to be an anthology type series where they touched on different things and different villains and this, that, and the other. So, without getting too much on my soapbox, Season of the Witch is a solid movie if you have not seen it.
I love it. I love Season of the Witch. And it's one of those movies, so help me, I believe if it had been released without the Halloween tag on it, it would have been completely received differently.
Oh, yeah.
And thought of differently, but I don't know. I love the movie. It is absolutely one of my favorites of the franchise. The differences in the not Michael not being it doesn't bother me. I don't care that it's labeled a Halloween movie. I just think it's a really, really fun movie to watch.
100% agree. All right. Now we're on to some upcoming releases. All right, Smile 2 is coming to theaters October the 18th, and it is described as about to embark on a world tour. Global pop sensation Skye Riley begins experiencing increasingly terrifying and inexplicable events. This is going to be the film that we were reviewing on our next episode. Of course, this is the sequel to the original Smile movie, which we have also reviewed, so make sure you go and check that out in the archives. I know I'm super excited for Smile 2. I'm very curious to see where they're going to go from Smile 1 to 2. I think it'll be interesting, and I hope that they do the film justice and the concept justice. And the Smile Demon is another one that was picked up by Call of Duty recently, so you can actually play as a Smile Demon if you would like to.
I'm looking forward to it. I really like the first one. Obviously, this one's got a lot of hype behind it and the marketing push. One of the big movies that people are looking forward to this year. I'm super excited to see it. And I don't know why. I kind of have a gut feeling almost. There's a little part of me that thinks I'm going to like this one even more than the original. I don't know why. I don't know what makes me think that. But I don't know. I just feel like they're going to really kind of move the franchise in a good direction that I'm gonna like. Just we'll see.
Yeah, very curious. So we'll see what happens. But obviously, if you again, if you haven't seen our review, check out the first one. We really like Smile, and that'd be a good little thing to watch before you see us review Smile 2 and see if our rating holds up between the two. But moving on to this series, Tales from the Void is releasing two episodes every Sunday from October 13th to October 27th. So check that out on Screambox. Tales from the Void, of course, is the basically the visualization of the r/no sleep subreddit on Reddit, of course. And it's a bunch of just short stories that I believe that they're turning into more full thought out stories on film. So very curious to see how they do that, and I'll definitely be checking that out.
It sounds like fun. I'm looking forward to it. And it's one of those things, I don't know. I don't know if I'll watch it as it goes or just wait and kind of watch it all through at the end.
Right.
Who knows? But I intend at some point to watch it. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And moving on to Mads is releasing on Shudder on October 18th and is described as a teenager stops off to see his dealer to test a new drug before heading off for a night of partying. On the way home, he picks up an injured woman and the night takes a surreal turn. So this looks like an interesting little film about doing too much drugs, I guess. Yeah, I'm curious, what a surreal turn it takes. So I'll probably check this out on Shudder. I do like trippy horror movies, so this might be one to add to that little list of trippy movies.
I mean, it sounds, I can't say it's the most gripping movie to to pull me in. But it is a Shudder movie. I have a lot of faith in what they're putting out, and I'll give it a try.
Yep. And this next one I'm extremely excited for.
Yeah.
Carved comes to Hulu on October 21st and is described as a group of survivors find themselves trapped in a historical reenactment village on Halloween, where they must unite to battle a sentient, vengeful pumpkin. Obviously, anything to do with a sentient, vengeful pumpkin, you've got me, you know. Fuck,
Yeah.
I'm in. Like, come on. It's I got that is where it's at. Vengeful sentient pumpkins, that is fucking gold mine right there. I'd watch 100 movies about a sentient pumpkin.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously I'm super stoked for this. I think it'll be a fun I think it'll probably lean heavily into comedy, but I think it'll work well.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it, and it's what another feather in their cap that draws me in is this is the movie that DJ Qualls is in, and I love
Yes.
DJ Qualls, so. And another movie that leans towards that, there's probably some comedy to it because he's in it. So, yeah, I'm super looking forward to this one and can't wait. I bet it's a ton of fun.
Absolutely. But all right. I think that pretty much does it for all of our news, birthdays, upcoming movies, releases, so on and so forth. If you guys haven't already, make sure you follow us on social media and, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel and all that good stuff, because you don't want to miss an episode. Especially since that you're going to get two episodes with this one. You're going to get the spoiler-free and then the spoiler-filled episode of our review of Terrifier 3. So make sure you bookmark that for later if you've not seen the movie yet. But when we come back, we will have our spoiler-free review of Terrifier 3. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right. And here we are back on Let's Hear the Screams. And like I said, this is our spoiler-free review. If you want to hear our thoughts with spoilers included and more in-depth on the plots, check out the other release coming out at the same time where we dive into all that. But for now, we're just giving you an overview in our thoughts on the movie. Terrifier 3 was released in theaters on October 11th, written and directed by Damien Leone, starring David Howard Thornton, Lauren Lavera, Antonella Rose, Elliot Fulham, Samantha Scafidi, and others. Okay, I got to keep this spoiler free for this one. No surprise here. I loved this movie. Everything I love about Terrifier was in this movie and just kicked in the ass and on steroids. The kills were extraordinary. Just everything about it, right? The development, the further development of Art the Clown and everything else was spectacular. I mean, I liked all the plot developments and everything else. I have to say that watching it, my gut says I think Damien Leone already knew he wanted to do a fourth before
Yeah.
this one, only because there were some things that were expanded upon from two in this movie, but that were not brought to a conclusion per se, that I think, that he's built upon. But I think so. I really think he already had in mind that there was going to be another movie, because he there were some things he didn't really close up a lot, not to mention the way, the movie ends. I'm not going to go into details on that on this one, but the movie was fun. There were some extraordinarily iconic Art the Clown kills in it. Lauren Lavera just was so amazing. She was even better in this one than she was in Terrifier 2. She really absolutely showed so much emotion and everything in this. I think she has truly, absolutely not that she hadn't already, but she has truly established herself as getting to that point of being, you know, an absolute final girl screen queen icon. She was so good in this, and in the way, again, I don't want to get spoilers. Just the way she handled things in this movie and played the character was just absolutely great. Elliot Fulham, I'm going to start with what was going to sound negative, but it's not meant that way. In Terrifier 2, Elliot Fulham was kind of, to me, was probably the weakest point. I don't mean that in a bad way, per se. I'm just saying, you know, when you're in there with David Howard Thornton and Lauren Lavera and some of the other people, I felt like maybe he was just kind of a notch below them. I really thought you could tell a lot of growth with him as an actor in this movie. I really thought it was a little stronger, a little more convincing in this movie than it was in the previous. Maybe that's just the natural aging and progression, you know, of him. But I thought he, for what he did in this movie, was did a really great job. I felt like there was a lot added to the mythos of Art the Clown. And building on it, it really answered some questions. It didn't answer some others, but there were some definite questions about the Terrifier franchise that I feel was definitively answered in this movie. And I liked it. So I'm gonna cut it there because it's so hard for me not to give something away and keep it vague. So, Ike, tell me what you're thinking on Terrifier 3.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I loved it. Terrifier 3, it really, in my opinion, it continues to paint the perspective that Damien Leone is simply making movies at this point to try and outdo himself. I mean, truly, this movie, it outdoes Terrifier 2 in a lot of ways. There are some things that I do like more about Terrifier 2, but like you said, I think the natural progression here with some of the characters like Sienna and Jonathan, fantastic. You know, like you said, there's a lot of questions that are answered, not only about Art the Clown, but about, you know, Sienna and Jonathan. And they do a very good job of, because as everyone knows, this is not a spoiler, there is a time skip between Terrifier 2 and Terrifier 3.
Yep.
I think they said that a long time ago. And from what I understood, the reason they did that is because the guy that plays Jonathan, he basically grew like a sprout. which is very evident. The guy's like 7 foot tall now. So they're like, we can't justify making him a teenager, really. We got to like move him up into college, which is crazy. There's a 5-year time jump. And they do a very good job of explaining what happened during that 5-year time span. And they even talk about maybe what our boy Artie was doing during that time. And there's a lot of other really cool stuff that they were able to establish with this film. And they also very well painted the picture of what encountering Art the Clown really does to someone's psyche. So it's very interesting to see all of these things combine and mesh together. A lot of kills in this movie, a lot of very well done kills in this movie. And I would say that in terms of pure shock value, the opening of this film is vastly more shocking than either of the other two films. I think that Terrifier 4 is going to have a lot of work to do, because this film truly, in my opinion, it really smoothed out a lot of the edges that Terrifier 2 had, but it did so without taking away from what the film was really about, which was about Art the Clown doing what he does and Sienna doing what she does. Without spoiling anything, I'm going to cut it there, because the film just shot perfectly, acted perfectly. There's a lot of callbacks to other films. There's a few cameos in this film. I don't want to say, because they could potentially ruin parts of the film. But there are a few cameos from people from All Hallows Eve, or even from the greater production crew. And just generally, there's a lot of really cool, nifty things that they do in this film that is just superb. So without spoiling, I'm going to cut it there, that I just loved it and it was so good.
Yeah. And there's, you know, I love Terrifier 2. Don't get me wrong. Love it. But after watching Terrifier 3, it does It does show me a little bit. You know what? There is Terrifier 2 is a little busy in some parts, right? There's a lot happening in some parts and everything else. To me, Terrifier 3 flows much smoother. And it's not it's like the action and the pace is spread out a little more through the movie than just having these really, really hectic high points. And you know, there are definitely, you know, climaxes to the movie. But it does make you kind of notice in Terrifier 2. And I'm not knocking it per se. I'm just saying that the pacing's a little different. That there's in Terrifier 2, there's more kind of lulls, and then it just like it goes from like whatever 20 to 3,000 all of a sudden. And it's just a lot happening. And I just feel like you know, I don't know. I like the pacing and the layout of Terrifier 3 and the way. Just the way it flows, it flies by a little more, and really makes you want more. It just well, you can just each movie you can just tell that these guys are learning more, and improving on their craft, and you know, really becoming more invested in the characters and the franchise, and it just shows more and more in each film. And I love it. It's just really a lot of growth as a franchise. It's really it's very retro, right? Again, it feels like, you know, the classic 80s franchises of the iconic horror films. This feels like that. You know, that it's great. So all right. So that's our spoiler for, you know, I don't think it's a surprise. We love the movie. I think you could go into it knowing we were gonna love the movie.
Of course.
I did go into it with an open mind. It didn't disappoint. It didn't change my opinion. If you know, if you do not like super gory movies, it's probably not going to be one of your favorites. You got to like the gore and the kills and the practical effects. But I mean, if you know what Terrifier, again, like we said earlier, if you know what Terrifier is, that's no surprise. They've just taken that and grown upon it as you would, you know, expect. So, you know, I don't think anybody's going to come into. I would hope that our listeners and people that follow us would not go into Terrifier 3 completely blind and not knowing somewhat what to expect. That's my hope, and that's what I'm going to believe. So don't let me down, people. So let's write this thing and move on out of this. So, Ike, out of five screams, what are you giving Terrifier 3?
Oh man, it's hard because I love the movie. This movie was so good. It ironed out so many wrinkles from previous movies. But I don't think it was perfect. I don't think it was a five. So I think I'm gonna have to go with a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah. Again, I feel the same way. You know, it's not perfect. It is the wonderful thing is it is consistent, and it is, you know, it's like I said, if you enjoy the Terrifier franchise, it's like each movie takes what you enjoy and what you love about it, and just fine tunes it, does it just a little better. You know, Terrifier 3, it's a wonderful film, wonderful, wonderful effects, a fun watch. But it's not necessarily breaking any ground. It's just doing what they do, and just you know, just raising the bar a little bit. They're not necessarily, you know, reinvent, and that's to me, that's a positive, right? Let's don't muck up what's working by trying to be too crazy about it. And you know, so I just gotta I'm gonna knock it out a little bit. I'm gonna give it just a 4 out of 5. I absolutely love the movie, don't get me wrong. But again, you know, I like the way it flows, whatever else. I do feel like maybe they could have leaned into the plot a little bit more. That's why I think that he already had eyes on having a fourth film, because I think there are a few things that that they dropped into Terrifier 3 that we didn't get a conclusion on, that it felt like you really wanted to. But I think he's got a big picture view of it. But that makes it hard when you just are watching this movie and judging this movie independently. There were some things mentioned, shown in this film, that it's like, I really wanted to see a little more of that and where that goes and what that means. That's not quite there yet. So I think that's why it's holding me back to a four. But again, I absolutely love the movie. I have to say, and we can discuss this more in our spoiler. I really think, again, I know it's fresh, I know it's new, but of the three, I think it's probably my favorite of the three so far. I think each one I like a little more. I love Terrifier 2, but again, this one takes everything I loved about Terrifier 2 and just it just adds to it, just builds upon it, and I love that. And I don't know, I just felt like this movie, it was a little smoother and just it, but I'm not, yeah, again, like you said, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it is a absolutely damn good horror movie, especially if you love practical effects and kills. Damien Leone delivers that every time. And whatever the case may be, man, they have got magic with Art the Clown. They have developed an iconic character that, even if the movie was weak, Art the Clown adds to it and brings it up a level. And I'm not saying this movie's weak, but even if it were, just him and David Howard Thornton's delivery of it brings it up. He's such a joy to watch. And as was the case in this, there were so many classic things to watch him do in this film. And if you want to hear more about those, you got to listen to our spoiler-filled review if you've already seen the movie. So if you want to hear that, it's a completely separate episode released at the same time as this. So just naturally go over and listen to that. It won't have all the news and things. We're not repeating a bunch of stuff. This is just a second separate review filled with spoilers where we're going to say, hey, the gloves are off. We can talk about anything we want pertaining to the movie. We're going to discuss some of the plot points, some of the happenings in it, raise some questions that we have about it, say some of our favorite aspects of the movie, maybe some things that were arisen that maybe, hey, leads us to think what's happening in the fourth movie. All that stuff's fair game in that. So if you've not seen the movie, just don't listen to that yet. Please, I mean, just go watch the movie first and enjoy it that way. But if you have seen it and you're familiar with the movie, go and listen to it and let us know what you think. Because I want, I want to hear your feedback and on what you agree with. Again, don't post spoilers out on social media. Not yet. It's too soon, too early. But save that feedback. So anyway, we're gonna get out of here. And if you want more Terrifier 3 and Art the Clown discussion with gloves off, spoilers abound, check out the bonus episode that we're getting ready. That's going to drop at the same time as this, that we're getting ready to record. Next regular episode, we will give our review of Smile 2, which is getting ready to hit theaters. Thank you once again to to our wives, to all the listeners and followers for all your support, everything you do to make the show what it is and enjoyable. Before we jump into the spoiler world, anything you want to throw into this one?
Just go out there and support this movie, guys. I mean, that's like the biggest thing that I think that anyone can do to really support this franchise and to ensure that we get more Art the Clown. I know Damien Leone says four is going to be it for him, but Art the Clown could be revived in 100 million different ways. So just go out there, support Terrifier 3, do what it is that we do, and give lots of love to the Art the Clown family. And yeah, just do it. Just do it. It's a fun movie, and do a little research. If you've never seen the other ones, maybe don't go watch this one. But enjoy it and support the Fuzz on the Lens and Damien Leone and everyone who is a part of this project.
And that carries over also to merchandise, guys. We're finally getting some cool stuff for the Terrifier franchise. Funko Pops, more figures, lots of stuff. At the Spirit Halloweens, at Spencer's, there's lots of stuff out there, and it's growing all the time. The success is only going to bring us more. That's cool because I love it. I love getting the option to pick up some of this Art the Clown stuff. So if you're, again, a fan of the franchise like we are, go out and buy it. Ike and I exchange texts all the time as we're buying the Funko Pops that are coming out. I just sent me a text today that he went and picked up the new soda from Funko, this new soda figure that I've not gotten to get yet, so I'm a little jealous. And everything else. This is very cool stuff. I love figures. I love these kind of things. And I like Funko Pops of things that I really love. I'm not just a general Funko Pop fan, but I love it of this. And it is so cool to me to look over my shelf and see Terrifier Funko Pops, because that's almost like vindication for the franchise. It's like that it's arrived. And yeah. The success of this movie is only going to prove that otherwise. And all I can say is now I want a Santa Art Funko Pop or kind of figure or something. So I'm hoping that's next. So anyway, yes, go support our friends at Fuzz on the Lens. We had Jason Levy on the show a while back. We may be talking to one of those guys again in the future. We told Jason we'd bring him back on and talk Terrifier. Let's let the film brew out there a little bit and let people see it. But we may revisit with Jason Levy or perhaps Michael Levy or whoever it may be and talk to one of them and discuss this film a little more once the hype's over and these guys settle down, because they're very busy right now. But anyway, go, like I said, go watch the film, support the film, and we're super excited. If you've already seen it, like I said, go check out the other episode we're getting ready to drop. So until then, either when you listen to that episode or till next week, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.